it always feels good because a lot of times I'm not aware of it sometimes. Like, I think the last time I knew something was coming up was when I broke the Trailblazers, like, all-time scoring record. After last game, I had a few people come up to me and, like, mention it, but, like, coming into tonight, I didn't even think about it before the game. And then when you said it to me after the game, I was like, dang, they did tell me I was, like, 24 points shy.
That is Damian Lillard, who last night reached 22,000 career points. He's 38th on the all-time NBA scoring list. Not too shabby. This is the Mason Crosby Show. Not right, Mace? That's it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right.
I mean, it's not quite like being 11th on the all-time NFL scoring list.
Yeah.
Like, 38th is not 11th. Like, let's be real, right? Come on, hey, now.
He's working his way down, you know. He'll get there.
He's getting there.
I get a question real quick before we get... Mason, did they keep you in the loop, like, when you were hitting milestones like that?
No, I don't. I didn't have the fanfare, I don't think, that...
No one on Packers...
They like, never told me.
There was no one on the staff that, like, you were moving up the ranks of, like, you were 20th,
I'm pretty sure my mom had to tell them that I was about to break the Packer all-time record.
Mama Crosby getting it done. That doesn't surprise me because she is on point.
She is on it.
No doubt about it. Well, this is the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our studio's powered by the Podwandering Sportsbook, free on the Odyssey app. Joining us now from the Locked On Bucks podcast, she is Camille Davis. Camille, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about it, you know, mostly we're focusing on NFL today, but we can't ignore the fact that the Bucks have won four in a row by an average of 19 points. As we get into that, like, what light switch did they flip? Like, what is going on right now that things just seem to be clicking?
It's been such an up-and-down season for this Bucks team in particular, like getting off to that 2-8 start that they had this year. They had a great stretch after they, you know, kind of cleaned up from that start, then kind of went through another lull. But if you look at the raw numbers, like, they started the season 2-8, which was terrible. No one saw that coming. But it's a long season. And you heard Dame, you heard Giannis caution, like, you know, throughout the course of the season, you have your ups and downs. But since the Bucks were 2-8, they have gone 22-9 since that point. They have been winning games. It's just that the losses have been really ugly or baffling because of who the competition was. And I think over this homestand, you've seen the Bucks just kind of lock in with the effort and execution that they need to take care of business, especially at home.
Oh, that's a great take. This is Mason Crosby. Hey, Camille, really appreciate you jumping on the show. I give a lot of credit to the NBA Cup run. That's when they caught fire. These guys give me a hard time, but I was a huge fan of the NBA Cup. And
Camille,
like,
Mason likes
I'm
soccer.
I'm a big soccer fan. So
I'm a fan of the Cup too, Mason.
All right, see, I'm not the only one. Get out of here, guys. But I'm looking at, like, the stat lines for this team, and it's like Giannis is averaging what 31.5 points a game. Dame has, you know, is averaging 25 points a game, and just kind of the way they are commanding, you know, this team and how they are leading it from the front. I can really appreciate just watching what they've done and the patience that they've had with this basketball team. So what is, like, your view, and do you see any other players right now in the league with kind of that presence and that you know, kind of that ability to pull their team up, you know, from the front, like Giannis and Dame do with this Bucks team?
The first guy that comes to mind is that center over there in Denver. Nikola Jokic has been doing that for a while himself. But,
yeah, he brings, I mean, that team list, up.
Yeah, the list of guys who can do that consistently isn't high. That's why these are the superstars, the MVP conversation guys. SGA over there with the Thunder is another guy who does a really good job of table setting for his team. But for Giannis and Dame, the Bucks go as they go. The Bucks are a top-heavy team, how they're constructed. So if Giannis has a tough game or Dame has a tough game, the margin of error for this Bucks team is very narrow for them to be able to pull off a victory. But I think that Doc has also done a really good job of figuring out the rotations and figuring out the guys who need to be on the court. Like, he started the season off with Pat Connaughton, someone who played a huge role in the Bucks championship run, a vet. DeLon Wright, those guys were getting minutes, and it wasn't working. And Doc made the call, like, we're going to go with some of those younger guys, Andre Jackson Jr., A.J. Green, even Ryan Rollins as of late, And I think adding in those young guys who really have a defensive energy has been a really good balancing act for this Bucks team as well.
I love that. Yeah, so those guys too, they understand their role completely, right? It's like, yeah, they're not trying to, like, you know, do something outside of themselves. They're going to play their role, go out there, do it at a high level. And I think that word energy that you brought, I remember Mitch was talking about it. His wife, Mrs. Thunder, was out at the Brooklyn Nets game, and we were all down
early
on the Bucks
season.
At that point. And it was just like, she said, it just felt like there was no energy on that court. This team was and playing with that juice and all of that, and Giannis is a very calming force in that in that space. And you know, everything he says just seems to be like, hey, let's just chill out. It's a long season. We'll get this thing going. And, you know, I talked about it as we're coming into the new year. I'm like, January is going to be a big month for this team. And so I was looking at the standings, and I just want to get your opinion on it. Do you see it possible that this Bucks team surpasses the Celtics? Like, do you think they can make a run, and like how they're playing right now, that they could end up in that two spot here in the East?
I think the two spot might be a little tough for them. The Celtics have been playing just 500 ball over the last few weeks here, but the Celtics were able to build up such a big lead earlier on in the season, where now once they hit their lulls, they have a little bit of wiggle room. I think for the Bucks also, because they're 0-8 against the Cavs, against the Celtics, against the Knicks, the three teams ahead of them in the standings. So for them to catch the Knicks or the Celtics, they're going to need to keep winning, and they're going to need for those two teams to start losing a lot of games to catch up. I think the three seed is probably still in reach. It feels too early for me to say that's impossible for them to reach. The two seed might be a little bit harder, but I think that the three seed is still in the running for the Bucks if they can continue their winning ways, although their schedule gets really tough after All-Star break and even heading into All-Star break. 9 of their next 13 games are on the road, so it's going to be a really big test for this team.
Yeah, the West Coast road trips, I know, are still coming up for them and the Bucks, and we'll see how that goes. Camille Davis joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Thanks so much for joining us today. You look at the starting lineup, and you talked about getting the rotation right. And I know, like, when Chris came back, Taurean went to the bench, but then they realized Taurean's much better as a starter, and Chris, like, they need that injection on the second level. But Andre Jackson Jr., you know, he's playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. What is your impression of him in the starting lineup? Is he adding, you know, I believe he's adding an energy that even if he's only playing 15 to 20 minutes, but he's still that guy who's like out of position sometimes, but he's just such a great athlete, and he's playing 94 feet of defense. What does he bring to the starting unit specifically?
I think he gives them just that defensive edge to start the game. You know what I mean? Like, he's coming out there. He's a rangy wing who has the athleticism, the quickness to stay in front of guys, and he also has the right personality for defense. And I mean this as a compliment, but he's the kind of guy that you don't want guarding you for a long period of time because he's going to be physical. He's going to see how much he can really push the rules while he's out there, which sometimes can get him into foul trouble. But I think he's someone who sets that defensive energy. The next step for Ajax is going to be that offensive game, because part of the reason why he's playing so few minutes is that opposing defenses just completely ignore him on the offensive end, which can mess up the spacing, especially when you're out there with Giannis. So his minutes haven't been super high, although he's a starter. And to that point as well, I'm not exactly sure that Chris Middleton coming off the bench is going to be a season-long thing. He's still experiencing some side effects there from those double ankle surgeries from the offseason. He's still in the minutes restriction, and Doc just kind of said, like, with him only being able to play 20, 25 minutes a game, it makes him starting a bit more difficult for my rotations. So we want to kind of just ease him back into it. But I do agree with you that Taurean Prince seems to play better with those starters. He was taking the same amount of shots coming off the bench as he was when he was starting, but the quality of the shots that he gets when he's out there with Dame and Giannis is completely different than when Taurean Prince is the guy trying to run bench units.
I like that. Yeah, your breakdown of that that play is, it reminds me of my son in his eighth grade basketball team. So he is
a little overly aggressive.
He's a great defensive player, but he's always looking at that foul trouble. He didn't foul out this week. He got four fouls. He was close, but we only played with five players, so it was touch and go there for a second. He had to play with four fouls for like half of the second half. So
wow,
I know. I love it. And I being on this show and like having the show of my own, talking more NBA and talking more basketball has been just a pleasure for me, and it's been fun to kind of follow this Bucks team a little closer. So what are your expectations for this team leading into the All-Star break? Where are they headed? Like, what do you need to see from them to feel good going into that All-Star break to make that run into the playoffs?
Better stretches of consistency from this Bucks team, because even going into the season, thinking about what the season was going to bring after how last year went, with so many changes to the Bucks team last year, with Dame coming right before training camp, to getting a brand new head coach, to firing that head coach, to getting Doc Rivers, all of that change this offseason, I said stability should help, but the next step for the Bucks is that consistency. Like last season, you saw the Celtics go on multiple, seven-plus game winning streaks. The Bucks didn't have that in them. And I was like, this season I would love to see just more consistency from them. And given how this season has gone, where, they start 2-8, then they go 9-1 over their next 10 games, then it's 5-5 over the next 10 games, then it's 8-3 over the last 11 games. Like, they're trying to stable out some. And for me, it's just watching them on the court, you can generally tell when they have it or when they're really engaged into the game. So I want to see them consistently engaged, despite who that opponent is, whether it's a lottery team or someone who has championship aspirations. They need to come out with the exact same energy and execution every single game. They cannot be late on switches. They have to be on the string defensively. They have to continue to hold each other both accountable. And they just have to continue to play Bucks basketball, moving that ball on offense, using the gravity that Dame and Giannis create to help set up others. And I think they'll be okay, because for this Bucks team and all the struggles that they've had throughout various points, they're still like hovering around being a top 10 defensive and offensive team. That's with struggles, including that 2-8 start. And over their last 11 games, they've been the sixth ranked offense, the sixth ranked defense. So it's like, they can do it.
Yeah.
You know they can do it. Now it's just seeing them do it consistently.
Man, Camille, for a second, as I was just listening to you, I almost thought you were talking about the Packers for a sec. Like, it's like very similar things. Yeah, and like you said, they are 0-8 against the teams in front of them. Like, this feels like this Bucks and this Packers team this year are very similar in how they're operating. And it's like, we just want to see
consistent
ball. Yeah, it's just like, find that identity, find that consistency. And you see sparks of it. But I think, going in, into and then after the All-Star break, like, just need to see them put that consistency out on the court. We've seen it here these last four games. I mean, they are finding their offensive stride. They are really just kind of dominating and taking over games. So yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Mitch, I know you have a million questions you want to ask, so you got anything else you want for Camille?
I know he sat out last night with a quad strain, but the impact that AJ Green, the dairy bird, is like, everybody's talking about him. And you look at what he's done, he's ninth in the league in three-point percentage. Torian Prince, who we mentioned previously, is fourth in the league. Gary Trent's 18th in the league. Like, it seems like, whether it's a focus on AJ Green or just looking at Doc Rivers' rotation in general, like, Doc for years we heard that he didn't play young guys. And now it seems like he's embracing a rotation that works for this team, and the three-point shooters are actually hitting shots to support Giannis and Dame. Do you expect, like at some point, is the league going to wake up and say, we got to actually play defense on AJ Green?
Yeah, I think the scouting report on AJ Green's offense is out. Like, you see teams understand he is a threat from three, and he has a quick trigger. If you give AJ Green a sliver of space, he's going to put that shot up, which is part of why I love AJ. But The part that the league seems to be slow on catching up on is that he's also a good defender.
Yes, he is.
I'm not sure if it's because of how he looks as this white guy, and you're like, I don't expect him to be out here playing defense. But, like, A.J. Green is a solid two-way player. He's had some fouling trouble over the last few weeks as his assignments have gotten tougher, but you can see that he has the IQ. He understands where he needs to be on the court. So I think that's the part of the scouting report on A.J. Green that the rest of the league is a little bit slow on catching up on.
I think that's fair. And I think
I like that take.
And I like that Doc has figured that out, because I agree. Like last year when A.J. Green came in toward the end of the season, he was only an offensive player. Like he was getting, you know, the teams were abusing him on the defensive end. And he's whatever work he put in during the offseason or teammates giving him confidence to do that. Like he's becoming a defensive stalwart on this team.
He is. And shout out to Greg Buckner, who came in this year and implemented his system.
He was a defensive. He was fun to watch on defense in his playing game days.
Yes. And what he did in Cleveland before he got here, it made sense where it's like Cleveland runs double bigs. The Bucks have Brook and Giannis. Like, let's bring in a guy who can kind of understand and figure things out. And I also think that's why to start the season, you saw so many hiccups because they were getting used to running a different scheme. To the blind eye, it might not look that different, but the Bucks have been really intentional about trying to keep one of their bigs by the rim at all times, meaning all other rotations need to come from those perimeter players. And just them understanding where they need to be was a little clunky at first, and it's starting to come up to speed for them too. So I think, again, the defense has been a big surprise for me this year. I did not expect for the Bucks to be, you know, a top 10 defense. I was hoping they could be middle of the pack and have an elite offense, but the way this season is going, this Bucks team really could have a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense, and that's a formula for success in the playoffs if they can get there healthy.
Camille, hey, appreciate you jumping on. I hope you'll come on and talk to us again, you know, as the season continues, and we can just get your takes on, you know, where we are, you know, after the All-Star break, and where, you know, where this team is headed, because I totally agree. I love everything that you're saying, and I think this team has kind of found that identity. And I, again, the leadership from Giannis, he said it earlier where he just was like, we don't have an identity. And I think you hit it right on the head where they were, you know, kind of figuring out this new system. Like, how are they going to operate? How do these young guys fit? And a great coach and great coaching staff will, you know, kind of put some of their past views and how they operated aside whenever, you know, they start seeing things. And a guy kind of proves it to them. And so young guys with a guy like Doc Rivers at the helm, young guys have to prove it. And, you know, these guys are proving it, and they've been fun to watch, especially in these stretches where they have, you know, really, really great games. So their consistency needs to stay on point. If they don't, you know, win a game, you just kind of want to see them play it a certain way. And I think you hit it right on the head with all of that. So, Camille, really appreciate you coming on. Hope to have you again sometime, but really liked your insight there.
Thank you so much. Anytime you guys want me on, I will gladly join. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys this morning.
Absolutely. That's Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks podcast, and many other podcasts as well. Follow her on Twitter at Camille Monet, at Camille Monet on Twitterverse. Camille, thanks so much.
No problem, guys. Have a good one. And stay warm.
Stay warm as well. Absolutely. No doubt about it. That's Camille Davis joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. And Milwaukee Bucks athletic beat reporter Eric Name will be on to talk Bucks with Sparky this afternoon. So that'll be at 3:20. That's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. So lots of Bucks talk here as we are Milwaukee's home for sports. Can I say that? I just said it. I don't know. We are. But it's true. Like, it's,
hey,
whether I said it or not, it's the truth. So
we're bringing it back live.
Exactly. A little more Bucks talk when we come back. We'll turn our attention back to the NFL. And, of course, there's a big football game tonight in Atlanta that we have to preview. It's Notre Dame and Ohio State in the college football championship game. So we will look at that game as well. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nels. Tommy Wirtz is here. We are the Mason Crosby Show, broadcasting live. Well, you know where we're broadcasting live from. It is the Potawatomi. We are powered. Bath Metal. Well, I look in like the
we're
log,
powered by the studios powered by right, the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Yeah, the log studios. Has the promo coming up, so I'm like, oh, I didn't really need to do the promo because the promo is coming up right now because we redid how we do the sponsorship. So I'm
we
like,
are live
up.
And we are local and we're here for you.
Basically,
let's
Mason,
keep it rolling.
Coming up next, Mason's going to tell us about Prize Picks. Stay tuned.